Well, we want to read now the scriptures. And so let's read together, having been forgiven by the Lord through faith in Christ, having the Holy Spirit in our hearts who teaches us the word. Let us listen to the word. We're going to read first from Proverbs 6, and then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 5. Proverbs chapter number 6. Reading verses 32 through 35. This is the word of God. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased, though you give him many gifts. And then Matthew chapter 5, we'll read verses 27 through 30. Verse 27 of Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. The grass of the field withers and the flower fades, but this, the word of our God, abides forever. Praise his name. Let us now turn to Holy Scripture. The text for the sermon this morning is in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27 and 28. And as you're turning there, I would like to give you greetings from Faith Presbyterian Church in Tilsonburg. That is now where I pastor. We began our responsibilities there in October. So we send you greetings. It's been a long time since I've been here. And I just want to thank the consistory for their kind invitation and allowing me to come amongst you today to serve the Lord and worship the Lord together with you. Before we read God's word, let's pray. Our wonderful Father in heaven, we are thankful for your Son, Jesus, our pastor, our shepherd. And he gave us this awesome sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And we pray that you would help us, Holy Spirit, to be humble and ready to hear this sermon of his and to apply it to our lives. Even in the power of the Holy Spirit, illumine us to this text. And help us then also in the power of your grace to live the resurrection life in obedience to this text, to follow the footsteps of Jesus. And so, thank you, Father, for giving us your Son, and thank you, Son, for giving us the sermon, and thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us the gift of understanding and application. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let us read verse 27 and 28. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Praise God, that is the holy word of the Lord. Blessed be his name. Now, dear church, we know that all the truths of the Sermon on the Mount are good news to God's people. Good news to the church. And this is no less true in the verses that are before us this morning and this afternoon. And really what we find here in these verses is Jesus' teaching on the way of joy, Jesus' teaching as to the blessed and holy life. Now, our culture, and yes, even many in the church, scratch their heads to see how joy comes out of this passage that we read together this morning. Maybe you've seen those pictures with hidden pictures inside of them. You know how you have the picture in front of you and you have to stare and stare and stare, and then all of a sudden you see the image that's hidden, you see the picture that's hidden. Those things are called stereograms. Well, if we look closely at this text, we can see the joyful life, the full life here. And we're going to look at this text. We're going to preach from this text this morning and also this afternoon. And we're going to see that there is joy here. But let me show you, first of all, in summary, the outline of this joy, so that we can kind of have a big picture in front of us as we start. Number one, self-discipline, saying no to sinful lusts, cutting lust off, brings joy to you and me and to our young people. And we must say Jesus here is highlighting sinful sexual cravings. True joy, resurrection joy, is within reach only when we share Jesus' death to sin, and this includes sexual sin too. The second part is this: being faithful and obedient to God's revealed will concerning sexuality brings joy and peace too. So if we learn to kill lusts and put it away, we enter a life of joy. But also, when we think about human sexuality in the light of God's word, it also brings joy to us. Because the opposite is true. Being unfaithful sexually is a guarantee to corruption, a guarantee to despondency, a guarantee to destroying marriages and destroying even sexual joy. You see, Jesus in this text here in the Sermon on the Mount is giving us the right understanding of the seventh commandment. Let us hear from our preacher Jesus and learn to live by his word in our lives so that we might please him and honor him even in our sexual lives, and in so doing, live lives of joy in the kingdom of God to which he has brought us in his wonderful salvation. So this morning, let us learn and apply these three things. Number one, let's open our eyes to God's word. This will help us to know God's will, my friends. This will help us to know what's right and wrong in this area of sexuality. Our world is filled with confusion about it. Well, the word of God gives us clarity. So let's open our eyes to the Bible. Secondly, let's open our ears and eyes to Jesus' word here specifically in this commandment, in this passage. Here in Jesus' words, as we listen to him, we're going to learn the true meaning of the seventh commandment. And then last of all, let's this morning look at our hearts. Are we sinning by looking lustfully at others? Are we provoking others to look lustfully at us? Do we flirt? Are we appreciative of God's directions on modesty and self-discipline? And then, of course, as we look at ourselves, we must run to Christ. We must go to Jesus, because all of us know that this is very close. This is very revealing. We've all fallen here in one way or another, and we need the gospel again. Well, let's begin by opening up our eyes to God's word. The biblical command here is very clear to us: thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus quotes Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 word for word. And of course, this seventh commandment takes in all forms of sexual immorality. To say that Jesus is only referring to a man lusting after a woman and not a woman after a man would be to misunderstand this command. Or to say that Jesus is only talking to married people, not unmarried people, or that Jesus only condemns adultery, not fornication, homosexuality, or other forms of lasciviousness, is to be guilty of the same kind of thinking that Jesus condemns the Pharisees for. The seventh commandment forbids all forms of sexual immorality. And Jesus' teaching is Scripture's teaching. After forbidding incest, after forbidding prostitution, homosexuality, pedophilia, adultery, and bestiality, our God, the God of heaven and earth, says this in Leviticus chapter number 18, verse 26 through 30. Let me read that to you. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments and shall not commit any of these abominations, either any of your own nation or any stranger who dwells among you. For all these abominations the men of the land have done who were before you, and thus the land is defiled. Lest the land vomit you out also when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations that were before you. For whoever commits any of these, referring to the sexual sins, who commits any of these abominations, the persons who commit them shall be cut off among their people. Therefore you shall keep my ordinances, so that you do not commit any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you do not defile yourselves by them. I am the Lord your God. And what does the Bible say in the book of Revelation and the last chapter, in Revelation chapter number 22, verses 14 through 15? Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the light and the right of the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. You know, sex is not condemned in Scripture. It is honored and blessed by God. Sexual relations within a marriage are God-given, God-pleasing. But sexual immorality outside, or sexual activity outside of marriage, or all kinds of sexual immorality are evil. Friends, let's open our eyes to God. The Scripture is clear. If we open our eyes to the Holy Scripture and what God says about sexuality, it will guard what you and I do, it will guard what we look at, it will guard our hearts. You know, our culture does many things to get us to close our eyes to God's revealed will. And describing many of them this morning would be inappropriate because we have children here. But let me tell you of four plans or four projects that our culture has implemented in order to get us to close our eyes to God's will on sexuality, in order to get our children to close God's eyes to His will on true sexuality. And these four projects, these four plans are most insidious. The first plan is this, that our culture rejects the Bible as God's word. So our culture doesn't go to God for its ethics of sexuality. It says this is old-fashioned. It says, who wants to go to the Bible and read what it says? But no, but God's word is true. God's word is true. The second project, which is most insidious, is this, that our culture says that marriage is not a covenant before God. Marriage is not between a man and a woman before the holy God and holy matrimony. blessed in their union, to have children. No, no. Marriage isn't from God, for God and His church, a gift from God. No, no. Marriage is what we want to make it. The fourth project that they seek to do is this, that culture says that immorality is okay. And so we have a porn industry. We have abortion. We have all sorts of things because people in our country say immorality is all right. You live out your sexuality the way you want to. And the fourth most insidious project that our culture has is childhood sex education in our public schools to try to get our children to not believe the Bible, to not love marriage between a man and a woman, and to get our children to say that sex is okay however you want to have it. But now I come to us. Do we have our eyes open? We live in a culture which loathes to deny itself pleasure. We don't like to be told no. You know, we can have our fast food, we can have our fast cars, we can have our fashion, we can have our internet. We can have our beauty industry. You know, the global beauty industry is astounding. We can and do dress up to look young and attractive all the time. You know, we can change our face. We can change our hair color and so on. And so what happens when one minister once asked, what happens when we don't want to see what God says, but we want our neighbor's wife or we want our neighbor's husband? Well, you know and see the answer all around you, don't you? So, do you have your eyes open to the Bible and God's will in regards to sexuality? Sexual sin is one of the greatest problems the church faces today. We have, even in the Protestant church, even in the evangelical church, men failing all the time. And our congregations rife with these problems. But do you have your eyes open to what the Bible says about it? That's a good starting point. Well, let's go deeper into our text. We need to open up our eyes and ears to Jesus' word now. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. Now Jesus says this, I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. The scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day loathed the sin of adultery, but they narrowed it down to the act itself. Even though the 10th commandment said, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Nevertheless, they reduced the 7th commandment to the act. The 7th commandment was often treated not so much as a command to be pure, but to not physically take a neighbor's wife. In other words, some Jews said that the actual act was the sin, but the imagination, the heart, was left out. But Jesus points us towards kingdom living. We are the church. We are the kingdom of God. This sermon is to us, the church. And Jesus points us to kingdom living. So he points you and I to the heart. We need to open up our ears to his word here. He takes us to our hearts. Not just to the outward act of adultery or sexual sin, but to the heart, to what motivates us. And we've heard his law, have we not? He said, but I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. First, Jesus brings up the issue of looking at a woman. And because the 7th commandment is inclusive, it also includes the woman looking to a man. Obviously, we look at each other as we talk. We've looked at each other this morning already, But Jesus has a specific looking in mind. If you look at a woman too, that is, with a specific purpose, if you look at a woman to lust after her, literally the word is to possess him or her sexually in your imagination, then adultery is committed with him or her in the heart. Let's be clear about that phrase, committed adultery with her in his or her heart. Let's be clear, when a man or a woman sees the physical beauty of another, acknowledges that beauty to the point that he or she imagines sexual relations of any kind with her or him, then that person has committed adultery before God. This is lust. Lust begins in the imagination, where the fantasies are born. So deeds of sexual shame and deeds of sexual scandal are preceded by imaginations of shame and scandal in the heart, in the mind. Remember King David? We all know the story, I think, this morning, when he wasn't going to war and he was on top of his roof and he looked over the vista, and there was a beautiful woman. Her name was Bathsheba, and he committed adultery with her. Remember that story? David's look became a leer, and then mental and heart adultery started before he ever went over to her. Like the sin of murder and stealing and so on finds its root in the inner thoughts, so does sexual immorality. Jesus says this plainly, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Have we heard this? Now, having heard this, you, Christian, and me, we must now add this to our Christian faith. We must be renewed in our minds. We must be renewed on this subject. The world says, oh, you can look but not touch. But this is now wrong. We know this. This is wrong. It is sinful to lust after another person in your heart. Instead, Christian men, we respect women as created in the image of God. And Christian women, we respect men as created in the image of God. And we who are born again, we who believe upon Jesus to be our Redeemer and Lord, we who've turned away from our sins, seeking to follow Him as His children have become sons of God. And so we in Christ, we are changed by the Holy Spirit to look at each other as Jesus looked at Mary or Martha or Peter's mother-in-law, or as Jesus looked at the other women disciples that followed him. Christians in Christ and in love for one another, let's think good thoughts of each other here in this local assembly, in this family of God. Let's not tell dirty jokes to each other. Let's be careful to dress modestly before each other. Let's be appropriate and dignified as men and women. Let's seek to keep our marriages good and loving and wonderful. And let's pray for each other. See, Jesus gave us the meaning of the seventh commandment. We're not even to lust in our heart after someone else sexually. Now, we also know from this passage that Jesus says that this sin is serious. Sexual sins, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, etc. It's serious. Notice verse 29. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Now we're going to come back to these verses this afternoon in the service, but for this morning, remember, Jesus' words here bring you and I to realize again the seriousness of this sin and how this sin destroys life and destroys joy and destroys families. Now remember in verse 21 through 26 of this passage that being angry with a person and calling him names is so serious an offense to Jesus that Jesus tells us that if you're angry with someone or call people foolish and have aught against someone, you should leave your gift at the altar. You should not worship until you go and make it right with that person because it's such a serious sin. Well, here, lusting and committing adultery in the heart is so serious that you should take drastic measures to cut it off, to pluck it out. Not literally, of course, but figuratively. Jesus is saying it is better to suffer minor losses, a hand or an eye, than to suffer in hell for all eternity. This sin of lust, like all sin, is subtle, it's powerful, it's full of perversion, it's deadly, it destroys, there's never any joy in it. There's never any joy in homosexual lifestyles, never any true joy in promiscuity. It's just sin and stupidity and a taking away. And so it requires mortification, that we kill it, that we cut it off. And we're going to talk more about that specifically this afternoon. But for this morning, let me ask you, do you see the way our culture has degraded God's will on sexuality? Do you know God's will on sexuality? Let's open our eyes. We have it in the Bible. Also this morning, have you heard the words of Jesus that sexual sin begins in the heart? Young people, it begins in the heart. It begins in the mind. Are you seeing the message within this message as well? You know that if you obey Jesus' word and remain pure in how you look at one another, pure in your marriage, faithful to each other. When you keep yourself, young people, until the day of your marriage before God in consummation. And when you remain pure and follow the will of God in regards to your sexual life, do you know that you will be happy? Do you see that? There will be joy. There's true life in all of Jesus' words. And here is true life, true joy. If we live in purity, if we live in holiness, if we cut off lust, if we put it away from us, and we seek to walk in God's way, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, well, there's life and goodness and a good family, and our children will grow up saying, Mom and Dad always loved each other. Dad was always faithful. Mom was always faithful. I want to be faithful too, because that's what the Bible teaches. And we'll have great freedom when we live according to the Lord. You know, Jesus gives life and he gives it more abundantly. And this sermon is life, 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 including this small section on adultery and sexual sin. And so now in closing, let's just look at our hearts. We've learned God's word. We've heard Jesus' word. And now let's look at our own hearts this morning. First, is your outlook regarding sexuality shaped or at least tainted by the world? Through which lens do you look at your own human sexuality? Do you look at it through the lens of the Bible and Jesus? Or through Hollywood and through movies, through secular education, or through the LGBT community, or through rock and roll, you know, or songs that sometimes, if you listen to their words, are so perverse and so opposite the Bible? Or do you look at sexuality through pleasure, that you love that pleasure? You know, people in our country, by and large, do not agree with the Bible, even though their conscience condemns them. But my friends, you who are baptized, you in the church, are you dissatisfied with God's word, with Christ's command, that you cannot look and cannot touch? You know, he's speaking to our hearts. And secondly, are you guiltless? Just because you did not physically act on your lust does not mean that you are guiltless. What about your heart? What about our hearts? It's from our hearts that proceed adulteries and fornication. And all of us stand before this word, and we can all think of times that we wish we hadn't done that. But third, is our hope in the gospel. You know, adultery or any other immorality of homosexuality or what else we could think, they're not the unpardonable sin. Praise God. You know, Christ is the Messiah. He's the Savior who came to cleanse from sin. You know, many in the Corinthian church were once immoral people, but they were washed, they were sanctified, they were justified in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And what of Rahab the harlot and her awful lifestyle? But she believed God and she even came into the line of Jesus Christ. And then there was David who did so many terrible sins, but he was forgiven of them all by the love of God. And think of Samson. That prolific. You know, you scratch your head, right? One woman after another woman after another woman. And yet, in the end, he was a man of faith. And he's in heaven. And what can we say of that one man in Corinth who was committing incest? He was later restored and forgiven. All because of Jesus, who became man and took upon himself all our sin and died on the cross for his people. And what of the Christians that made up the churches at Ephesus and Colossae and Crete and Philippi, who were saved out of paganism and its attendant sexual rituals so common in the Roman world? Yes, all of these people carried with them the reproach of sexual sins, but they were forgiven by Jesus Christ, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And where sin abounds, grace superabounds. Oh, you and I, we must never forget the gospel in the face of this word, which is such a true word, such a freeing word, such a good word, such a joyful word. But we failed, and yet Christ is here to all of us who repent and believe. We'll be forgiven. Yes, the reproach might not be always wiped away, but there's still mercy with the Lord. Jesus saves, he forgives. And so are you addicted to porn this morning? There's mercy with the Lord. Are you addicted to pleasure? And you're living in a sexually illicit relationship right now? Well, there's mercy with the Lord. The Savior Jesus calls you and me to repent and to believe in Him, and we will be cleansed, and we can begin living a better life in His power. But you know, along with this gospel gift of Christ, who can cleanse us from our sexual sins and make us new people, and that we can live a holy life again, He also calls us to kingdom living now in the power of the Holy Spirit. And thus you and I are called now that we've known the forgiveness of sin. You and I are called now to overcome sexual temptation and overcome sexual sins for God's glory. So Christian, perhaps you've been overtaken. You've been saved. You believe in the Lord, but you were overtaken of that sin like David was. Christ does not teach you to stay in that sin, but to come out. And you know, He's given you the Holy Spirit power, and He's given you the Scripture, and He's given you the Holy Church to help you. So, I'm not your pastor here, but you have a godly man and a godly consistory. If you have a difficulty, if you're overtaken, if you're entrapped, or if you're struggling with it, let the church help. Come to an elder or to the pastor and say, I have this problem. I want to overcome it. Look, all of us grew up in this society. We're all tainted, touched with it somehow, and in some way, and maybe you're struggling. Well, don't stay in the struggle. The Lord will help you. And the church is here to help. The Spirit is here to help. The Word is here to help. So in conclusion, we know that in marriage, a man and a woman become one. But adultery rips through this union. It is an act against God, and it can destroy the family. And so we need to come to Christ. Now the kingdom of God has come in Jesus, and our King wants us to overcome this sin. He still condemns it. He still gives us this holy word of God. He wants us to overcome sexual sins in body and in heart. And so let us come to Christ. Let us take up our cross and follow Him, denying ourselves, including denying lust. And the result, Christian, will be joy. It will be freedom. It will be blessedness. Young people, you will have great joy as you walk with Christ and know His forgiving grace. And then you'll have great joy as you live your sexuality according to the Word of God. There'll be trust, there'll be peace, there'll be rest, there'll be a joy between you and your husband, or between you and your wife, between you and your children, and there'll be gladness and integrity and hope and no shame. But the only way you can do that is to come to Jesus and walk in His way. Because you know, Christ, He's more than lust. He's more than sexuality. He's more than the hand. He's more than the eye. He is everything to us. And so let's live for Him in this area too of our Christian lives, in the kingdom of God. Yes, let's remember that to be in Christ is to follow this word. And let's pray for the Holy Spirit power to be able to do so. And let's learn, as we'll see this afternoon, to put off that old man and to put on the new and walk in the joy of God. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word that comes to us in such a wonderful light in the midst of our world in which we live. Thank You, God, for how You are keeping us. Thank You for all the men in this congregation whom You have kept, whom You have empowered by the Holy Spirit to remain faithful to their wives, Thank you for the young people, the young men and women who are here, who love you and who have committed themselves to you to stay faithful to your word. Thank you for the women, the mothers who are faithful too. Thank you, God, for the consistory and for the pastor who is faithful. Thank you, O Lord, for how you have helped us. But we always need your help. We need your mercy. Lord, we need to guard our hearts every day. Help us to do that. We can only do that in the power of your grace. But your grace is displayed for us in the cross and resurrection, and in how you forgave so many people who were caught in this sexual sin. You are merciful. And so we receive your grace again. We know as you helped David, as you helped others, you will help us. Help us. Teach us your way. Keep us in your care. Renew our thinking. Give us hope, faith, and love for your glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, congregation, your building, you have beautiful windows. And I think of that window over here where you have the Bible, you know, there in that window. And these windows give us clarity. The colors are so crisp, so clear. And you know, the Word of God is so crisp, so clear regarding human sexuality. There's no confusion in the Word. And so let's thank God for this clear Word and how He's given it to us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you. We thank you for your Word. We thank you, Jesus Christ, for your preaching. We thank you for the incarnation. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've come from the Father and the Son to illumine us to the Scriptures. And we've learned today that your word is so clear what wrong sexuality is and what true sexuality is. Thank you for marriage. Thank you that we can live for you in our sexual lives, in this wonderful relationship of holy matrimony. Thank you. Thank you for this word. And may you teach us then, in gratitude, to walk in this way. In Jesus' name, amen.